Saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. We are entering into a new year, and new years mean resolutions and all those kinds of things, and looking back at the past year and hope for the new year. And in talking about resolutions, there was a high school principal who had asked his teachers to give him a list of their resolutions, and he was posting them on the bulletin board. And all of a sudden, there was this awful commotion, and one of the teachers was throwing the biggest temper tantrums. He says, "Why aren't my resolutions up there?" And the principal, getting all in a panic, ran back to his office and checked his desk and found that, sure enough, he had left her resolutions on his desk and it hadn't taken them to the bulletin board. But as he was going back to the bulletin board to post them, he started reading through this teacher's resolutions, and one of the resolutions was to not let the little things bother her as much. I don't know how you do with resolutions or even if you make resolutions, but I hope you do a little bit better than what this particular teacher did. There was a minister who wrote in the church newsletter about his goals for the year, and one of his goals was to clean up his desk, and another of his goals was to find last year's goals. I don't know how you keep your desk, but I know Marilyn accuses me of keeping a messy desk, and so... And I think she's probably right. I know where stuff is, but I'm sure nobody else would be able to find it. Anyway, if you remember the Calvin and Hobbes cartoon strip, they were talking about the new year, and Calvin says, "I'm getting disillusioned with these new years. They don't seem very new at all. Each new year seems just like the old year. Here another year has gone by, and everything's still the same. There's still pollution and war and stupidity and greed. Things haven't changed. So I say, what kind of future is this? I thought things were supposed to improve. I thought the future was supposed to be better." Hobbes replies in his usual keen insight, "The problem with the future is that it keeps turning into the present." And I guess you could kind of go along with that. It seems like tomorrow never comes, because when tomorrow gets here, it's today. The new year, it's, you might say, like the old year, but we hope not this year. We hope that the new year is a hopeful, exciting, full of anticipation, that it's going to be a good year. And things are really great going to happen, that God is going to guide us through this year, and things are going to turn out the way they should according to God's will. But New Year's is a time for reflection. We look back over the past year and the things that have happened and our successes, our failures, and we think about what's going to happen during this new year. What kind of successes and failures might we have? We have great hope for the new year. And I think that's why a lot of us come to church, because we have hope in the Holy Spirit. We want to find things fresh. We want to find things new. We want to know that through the Holy Spirit from God that there are exciting new possibilities positive things for the church, positive things for each of us individually. New growth instead of the same old, we want to see hope and good things in our future. From the verses I read this morning in Ephesians 1, he says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." And that is great news for us. That is good news, that he loves us the way he loves us. He loved us so much that he gave his son to us to be sacrificed to save us from ourselves. And we need to remember that in this new year, that God walks with us. The Holy Spirit is within us. Jesus has his arm around us as we go through our daily lives. And if you've got God, what can happen bad against you? First of all, we need to see that God loves doing new things. God does love doing new things. In Revelation 21:5, it says, "See, I am making everything new." And even in Isaiah in the Old Testament, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing." God likes doing things new. And we should be excited about that. We don't want to maintain the status quo. Someone has said that the status quo is Latin for the mess we are in. And if we try to keep things the way we are, then we're kind of in a mess. We should want to change. And I know change is one of those things that scares a lot of people. You don't want to go through change because you don't know what to expect. You don't know if it's going to be successful or if it's going to fail. And so why not just keep things the way they are? But we can't afford to do that. We don't want to keep the status quo. We need to change. We need to have hope. We need to expect change and follow through. I don't know how much you know about the history of football, but in 1906, football was a ground game. They kicked the ball. They carried the ball. It was kind of referred to as 3 yards and dust. Well, in 1906, they legalized the forward pass in football, but most of the teams continued to play just like they always did, 3 yards and dust. One particular team, however, the St. Louis University football team, decided that they were going to use the forward pass, and in their first season, they outscored their opponents 402-11. Sometimes change is for the better, and we should look at it that way. Change comes. Change is a good thing. God loves change, especially changed lives. Think about that for a minute. When you became a Christian, you were different than you are today. God accepted you the way you were, but he changed you. We are changed people. God loves change, and he especially loves it when it changes our lives. Resolutions, they can be hard to keep. Sometimes we think about, well, I'm going to drop that old habit, or I'm going to pick up a new habit, or any number of things. And I know typically by the end of January, the resolution has been long forgotten. But we need to turn over a new leaf sometimes. As we enter into this new year, we need to approach the new year with hope. Think positively. Think about the things that we could do individually, with our families, in our jobs, with our church. Think about the great things we could do. Second thing we need to realize is that God loves giving people new names. Think about down through the Bible, all the times he changed people's names for good reasons. Take Simon Peter, for example. Jesus named him the Rock. Now, if you know anything about Simon Peter, he was a high-strung, temper tantrum, fly off at the handle type of person. Not the kind of person that you would think of as a rock. And everyone knew he had that weakness, that he was high-strung and prone to temper tantrums. But Jesus called him the Rock because he wanted to take that weakness in him and transform him into a different person. He knew the potential that was inside Simon Peter. He knew that Simon Peter could be the Rock that started his church despite the weaknesses that everybody else saw. Christ knew him. And he did follow through and become the Rock and start the church. We all have faults and weaknesses. Things that maybe people don't like in us. But we can be different people. We can be transformed by God. God can make us new. Call us by another name. Instead of failure, call us forgiven. And those kinds of things. When we feel inadequate or guilty, he can turn us around and make us feel powerful and strong. From Isaiah 62, 2 and 3, it says, "The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God." So many people have this idea of God that he's sitting up there on his throne waiting for you to make a mistake so he can go, "Gotcha!" God is not a cosmic cop waiting for you to fail or make a mistake. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to be successful, happy. He wants you to fulfill your potential as a person, as a Christian. The Bible says in 1 John 3:20, "If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." And that's where he takes our name failure to forgiveness. God calls us by a new name. We are different. Cervantes, who was the author of Don Quixote, he was thrown into prison in Seville, Spain. And because he was worried about the cutthroats in this prison, this is where he came up with the story. Don Quixote, the Man of La Mancha. Don Quixote pictures himself as this chivalrous knight. But what he really is kind of a shabby person. He has shabby armor and a sagging horse. But he is interested in this fair lady, as he refers to her. He calls her Dulcinea, which means sweetness. But if you know anything about Dulcinea, she's far from being a sweet, fair lady. She's a prostitute that works in a tavern. Her name is actually Aldonza, which is not a good name. But he didn't see her that way, and he continued to pursue her. His family tried to convince him otherwise, and when they almost had him convinced, she came to him, and he smiled when she came into the room, still calling her Dulcinea, and she looked at him and said, "You looked at me and called me by another name." She had become a lady. Her life was renewed by someone who dared to believe in her. God believes in us and calls us by a new name. We are good people. We are to dream the impossible dream. We often talk about believing in God, but forget about the fact that God believes in us. We yell and scream and flaunt our wickedness before Him. We refuse to believe in His amazing grace, but we still wonder what could happen if it was true that He did believe in us. And He does. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He knows that we're human. He knows that we mess up sometimes, but He forgives us because He loves us. He wants to help us be different people. The final thing that we need to realize is that God's new name for us means a new beginning, just like New Year's mean a new beginning. We can forget the past and start new. He changed Abram's name to Abraham, which meant father of multitudes. Abraham looked at God and said, "What are you talking about? I've never even had a child." He changed Sarai's name to Sarah, which meant princess. God has the power to transform us, just like He transformed Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. He can do that for us. Sometimes we talk about people and how they're never going to change. God can change them. We can help God change people by showing them how it is to be right and good. Even in the book of Genesis, Jacob, the name Jacob means the supplanter, the schemer, the trickster, the swindler. And he followed through by that name. He cheated his brother out of his birthright. He lied to his father. He was truly a swindler. But when the angel of the Lord came to him and asked him his name, and he told him it was Jacob, the angel of the Lord replied that he would no longer be known by that name. He would be known by the name Israel, which means Prince of God. Not only was Jacob's name changed, but his heart changed. He was never the same person again. We can change in the same way. God can help us change. Those called sinners, Jesus called companions. Those scorned as immoral, He calls forgiven. Those common fishermen, He called fishers of men. A crucified thief, He called an heir of paradise. So what names have you been called? What names do you call yourself? Christ offers you a new name, a new lease on life. Offers you the opportunity to be somebody else, somebody new. And the new year is a good time to give yourself a chance and to give others a chance. See the new in people. See the new in yourself. God wants something better for us. He wants us to have a good new year. Think about the names God has called us. He's called us blessed and chosen and holy and blameless and adopted sons and daughters of God. So are you still carrying around the name failure and loser and sinner? God doesn't see it that way. God gives you a new name for the new year. So go out and live as blessed and chosen and holy and blameless and adopted sons and daughters of God. Because that's the way God sees us, and that's the way God wants us to be. In a new year, a new beginning is the perfect time to renew yourself from the Holy Spirit and be the person that you want to be, that God wants you to be. Amen.